You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome in another edition of On the Tee with Anita Marks. We've got John Mascari, Christina Thompson as well. And oh my gosh, Bryson DeChambeau, people.
I feel like,
it's so funny. First of all, have you guys ever seen Hamilton?
No, not yet.
Do you know it's streaming on Disney Plus?
Yes. Have Disney Plus.
Okay. I'll give you my password when the
Thank you.
Off the podcast. Anyway, it's so funny. Every time I say DeChambeau, it just reminds me of the play Hamilton. And if you saw it, you'd understand why. But nonetheless, dude is jacked. But here's the thing, and John, let's start with you. His clubhead speed is ridiculous. Like the average human being who's not otherworldly, there's no way somebody would have success swinging the club as fast as he does.
What is his swing speed now?
I think it's
200 over 200.
Yeah, something like that, right?
It's unbelievable. He's averaging 350 yards off the tee. Averaging. Mm-hmm. I mean, to your point, Anita, someone who swings that hard, you don't really know where the ball could go at that speed. But he's managed to – he's hitting fairways. He's got the putter going now. His short game has improved. There's no defense against that. So, let's think about other sports where, someone's hot, he's, a basketball player that can make everything from beyond the arc. You can defend him. There's no defense in golf. You just have to keep up. And the tour players cannot keep up with that distance. He's hitting shorter irons into greens. He's making more birdies. He's walking away with big checks.
Well, this is
top tens in a row.
So earlier tonight, I filled in on 98.7 ESPN, and Matt Barry, who majority people know as a SportsCenter host, is also a huge golf enthusiast. He has a podcast with Michael Collins, a.k.a. The Caddy, and he was on with me, which, by the way, at the end of this podcast, I am going to replay that interview with Matt Barry, so stay tuned for it. But, we were talking about it. As we know, DeChambeau is a lab rat. Huge scientist when it comes to the swing, and in the 13 weeks of the hiatus that these guys were on because of the pandemic, it's like he realized he did a deep dive into his statistics and saw just how spot on he was in regard to strokes gained on approach in clubs that were wedges. And so how do you reach that? How do you attain that? Well, you drive the ball further. And so that's how he kind of came to this, like, I'm going to bulk up, I'm going to get stronger, I'm going to be further off the tee so that now my approach shot is that of a wedge. And it's interesting because, not to bring this all full circle back on me, but I think this is the conversation we have. I think a number of people have, like, when someone says, okay, so what's your game? So my game is really long off the tee. I typically play driver, wedge, putter. If I play driver, wedge, putter, I'm breaking 80. If my driver is off and now I'm driver, 7-iron, 5-iron, utility club, then chances are I'm not on the green on 2. And then now I'm going to a wedge, and then I'm praying to God that I don't 3-putt. Do you know what I mean? It makes perfect sense in regard to what his goal was, and the dude achieved it.
So this whole bulking up is primarily to get longer off the tee. So his game, so he's playing his, short game with, changing his clubs. I mean, that was the whole intent of this.
The intent of this was DeChambeau's stats, strokes gained on approach with wedges was far exceeded anything that he was doing with longer irons. Okay.
But what you're forgetting is he's gotten longer everywhere.
everywhere, right? Absolutely.
I mean, he hits 9 iron, 190 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous, yeah. Right?
That's ridiculous.
And he is so confident now off the tee. It's a matter of, I'm going to hit it right over this tree. That's the shortcut.
Right.
It's almost like a video game for him. I'm going to click over here. I'm going to hit it right there.
Yeah. Well, and this win, I think, now just verified it that, you know, he did it for the right reasons. He got the results, and he got the results pretty fast. I mean, four tournaments in, and he's already got his win. So, you know, check that off the list. He did it.
46 under par coming into this tournament. 46 under. And then he shoots 23 under in this tournament.
Yeah. I mean, he had 16 drives that blew past 350. So, I mean, it's, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of other players who might be like chuckling in the corner about, you know, that he's bulked up. But don't be surprised if you start seeing some other players follow suit. So,
has he had to pee in a cup yet? Do we know?
But, I don't know. But, I mean, what are the thoughts on that? I mean, I know there's been a few players like Koepka who've been kind of throwing some, you know, shots at him for a couple other things, like maybe. But what are there rumors on the street? There's a little juice.
I don't know. I'm just. No. I'm being serious. Like, I don't know. Does the PGA Tour even test John? I don't
they
even.
Do.
Know.
Yeah, they do. They do. They do testing, and there's been no talk of that. Listen, it's been widely known. This is what he's doing. He's putting on weight. What did he put on, 40 pounds now?
Yeah.
30.
He started?
30, 40, yeah.
So everyone knows what he's doing. He puts his whole meal plan online. He's eating.
It's some crazy amount of calories.
Eggs and bacon and, you know, he's like, he's not hiding anything, but it's this experiment that he's doing
but
is
you know
coming
what?
To fruition.
But you know what's really interesting, though? I mean, any players that are out there, if you're a heavier guy and you lose weight, your swing changes. If you're a smaller guy, you put on weight, your swing changes. So it's just interesting, you know, that he's been able to work through it and really be able to deliver on changing his speed. I mean, he's been the same size for pretty much his whole professional career until recently. So, you know,
remember his swing is different than many others.
That is true. I mean, he tweaks with everything, and I kind of like that. I kind of like that he thinks outside of the box, and, you know, he's got that whole mentality, like, listen, I'm going to play this golf game the way that I want to play the golf game, and I'm going to play with the tools that I have in my body, and I'm going to use them to my advantage, and maybe some more people start looking at that like, hey, listen, I'm not going to do the cookie-cutter out-of-the-box, you know, golf swing and the golf, you know, playing the clubs that everybody plays, and try to figure out what works for me. And, you know, I kudos to him for changing the way we look at the game of golf and the technology that we have and how we use it. So,
well, I think if you just look at the top two players who finished in the tournament with DeChambeau and Wolf, could you get two more different golf swings? Could
right.
You get two Wolf. More different body types? You know, yeah. They look like the number 10 standing next to each other. But they both get their ball into the hole. And that's the great thing about the sport is that there's no cookie cutter swing. You can hit it high, you can hit it low, you can curve it right to left or left to right, put that little ball in the hole and you're okay.
Let me ask you this, because, you know, DeChambeau isn't the most liked player on tour. You know, what if this continues? Like, you know, what do you think that he can do? Because, you know, this is the buzz. Everybody's talking about DeChambeau, right? Like, Christine and I played. We played Galloping Hill on Monday with Kate from Penn State, who, by the way, John, you won't even believe this little thing. She's like, I don't know, what, 5'7", she's 5'7", 118 soaking wet. She was playing from the blues. John, she was blowing it past Christine and I 20, 30, 40 yards. It was ridiculous.
And not even blowing past, but like accuracy. It was, it's so fun to play with someone who plays really well. Like, it really makes you play better, I think. And it's just so enjoyable. But Galloping Hill is such a great course.
But, you know, like, you know, a good part of our day where we were talking on several occasions, we brought up DeChambeau and we were talking about his game. You know, that's the one thing, you know, when we talk about Tiger is the fanfare that Tiger brought to the game. Like, you know, do you guys feel that DeChambeau has that thing that can bring the fan?
No. No, I don't think so. He's, because he's not in it for, you know, I'm not saying that Tiger was in it for the fans, but, you know, he's not, I don't think he's moving the needle like a Tiger does, or I don't think he's bringing, you know, bringing it.
There's so many variables that Tiger had. I mean, everything from being on TV as a four-year-old kid on like the Mike Wallace show and the Fantastic Amateurs, his heritage, you know, a black father, an Asian mother, the Nike stuff. A lot different than DeChambeau.
I can't see
another golfer ever coming close to what Tiger was.
Yeah, but I mean, even like if you look at the Ricky Fowler
PR standpoint.
Yeah, I agree. And I even think like the Ricky Fowler effect. I mean, Ricky has such
careful.
There we go. No. Good thing. Good things. I mean,
we hit Ricky Fowler.
You know, he's got charm. He's a cute kid, and he came out young, and you know, but he's out there for the sport, and it's just a different thing. I think DeChambeau is going to be a golfer's golfer. You know, I don't think he's going to be a you know, I don't think the kids are running, you know, crazy over him, but I think he's going to come out and give us some really good golf game. I think he's going to be here for a long time, and he's just going to be a golfer's golfer, and I think he's going to show up, deliver, and continue changing the way we think about golf, the golf game.
So he just wants to cash checks and
for
drink
sure
protein shakes.
I just want to add this thing. I mean, I loved his post-round interview. Like, the first thing he did was, like, so like NASCAR-ish, like where he's like thanking his sponsors up front. Like the first thing he did was thank, you know, Cobra Puma. And I just kind of chuckled when he did that. He was like so ready for it and so scripted. So it gave me a little chuckle.
So now he's favored for the Masters.
Right.
And the PGA.
10 to 1, Tiger 16-1. But guys, we know the Masters is all about putting. John, let me ask you this. You know, we've been sitting here talking about the distance and, you know, him hitting a 9-iron, 190 yards, whatever. What did you see in his putting? Do you feel that what you saw in his putting this week makes that 10-1 feel accurate to you at the Masters?
Yeah. I mean, we said it last week where his putter tends to leave him, especially on the shorter putts. Boy, it didn't happen in Detroit. 4-under on the front nine on Sunday. Looked locked in. It looked like he was putting into a bucket. So if he can have that confidence, there's no reason a 10-1 is certainly within the realm of happening. I think he's just on a hot streak right now. And like I said, it looks like he's putting well. His short game has really improved. And couple that with the length that he's hitting the ball, it's going to be really tough to keep up with him.
Who do you right now, based on – listen, I'll say this. 13 weeks off, I'm calling a pandemic pause. Guys come back. We've been watching some really great golf. I'm pleasantly surprised.
Unbelievable golf.
How great the caliber of golf we've been watching. But with that being said, in the past 4 or 5 weeks that you've been watching, anybody stand out to you that you think legitimately has a good shot of winning the Masters besides Tiger?
I mean, I know you're pretty high on Victor Hovland. I think he's been playing great lately. I think Justin Rose is playing real well. Golf, you know, Augusta sets up real well for him. Matt, I think Wolf is always going to be in the mix. I'm big on him this year. Remember, our first event is the PGA at Harding Park. So should be interesting to see Mr. DeChambeau play out in San Francisco. Still going off as a 10-1 favorite as of right now.
Christina?
Never heard much from Rory, have you?
Nope. Christina, who do you have right now for the Masters?
You know, I still think it's going to be someone who's maybe won it before. I don't know. I'm in the Team Finau category. I still think that, you know, he had a great Masters last year. So I'm not sure how he's been playing this year, but you know, I'd like to see him. I agree. Victor Hovland is one of the players I would love to see with a win. He's my pick for this week, actually. So I think it's anyone's game. It's just going to see how the next couple games fare out, and we'll see how Memorial plays out. It's going to be one of our biggest events. So,
all right. Well, let's dive into that. So it's very, very interesting, right? Like, we are going to be watching a tournament happen 2 weeks in a row at the same course. This hasn't happened on the tour since 1989, Do you guys remember what course that was?
Firestone. Here.
Nope.
Galloping Hill. I don't know.
Okay, I'm guessing not.
Harbortown. Harbortown. 1989, Harbortown, the last time that the PGA Tour hosted an event back-to-back weeks at the same location. I find this fascinating. So this week is the Workday Charity Open. Now, I spent a lot of time today researching the metrics, you know, because mama likes a new pair of shoes each and every week. That's how I get them. And here's what you need to win on this course. Driving accuracy over distance, even though the combination of both is good, which really plays well into your boyfriend, Gary Woodland, there, Christine. Mm.
Thank you.
Par three scoring. Mm-hmm. Strokes gained on approach. Putting, scrambling, and good out of the sand. So just some of the metrics out there.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. The whole point is, you know, driving distance, not as significant here. Driving accuracy, more significant here, okay? So with that being said, there's a few guys that I really like. Some of the guys that the experts, I don't consider myself an expert. The experts out there are considering Cantlay, Woodland, Rose, Thomas, Kuchar. I like Decky. I think what we saw from Decky this, oh man, John with the face. Okay, John.
I'll take the other side of that action.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, what did you not like?
I'm just low on him. I'm not feeling him right now. I don't know, just call it a hunch. I'm big on Hovland. I'm big on Justin Rose. I'm big on Scottie Scheffler playing real well lately. You have to one thing.
Go ahead.
When we're handicapping this tournament, mm-hmm. okay, we're using a lot of our knowledge from the Memorial, right? Because the Memorial is at Muirfield Village, and we know how players perform at that golf course. What you're forgetting is they're not playing the Memorial tournament the week before. So you're going to have – the rough height is going to be different, okay? So normally it's 4-plus inches during the Memorial. They're cutting it down and making it about 3 inches, okay?
Right, right.
The speed of the greens is going to be substantially slower for the workday than the Memorial, okay? So slower greens. Also with that, totally different pin positions. So the PGA Tour has asked that you have 8 different pin positions for these two tournaments. So players are going to be hitting to pin positions that they've never hit to before. It's going to be a totally different golf course than what they've played year in and year out for the Memorial. So keep that in mind. You know, they're going to be tucked in places that they normally are. They're going to be saving areas of the green for the following week. They've had very little rain. I have a lot of family in Columbus. They have very little rain the past month. High temperatures, 90s plus. It's going to be a really interesting tournament the week before.
Do you want really quick, Christina? Do you want to make a little? Oh, you want to make a wager that Decky finishes at least in the top 10 with me?
Mm. Done. I'll take that right now.
Done. $60 bottle of wine.
Done.
Christina, what were you going to say?
Well, my question is, though, you know, you've got a lot of these guys who have played this course many, many times before. So they know the course. But like John said, the course is going to set up completely different this week as it will for the following week from Memorial. But, you know, players like DeChambeau who are, you know, taking this week off, who are not in the field. Is it an advantage or do you think it's a disadvantage to be playing, not playing this week or playing this week, you know, and playing next week, back-to-back weeks? I mean, do you think there's a disadvantage or an advantage, like I said, for playing both weeks or starting it off this week? But like you said, the course is going to play completely different for Jack's event. So, I mean, you're looking at, like you said, the rough is different. The speed's going to be different. It's going to be different.
I think any time that you have an opportunity to be on a course is an advantage.
Listen, there might be guys that use this week as a workout for the next week.
Like Brooks.
People who don't care.
I see Brooks Koepka doing that. Right? I see Brooks Koepka looking at this is a practice round for me. I'm going to try out some new stuff.
Right.
And then who knows what happens.
All right, so do you think the pick would be then, like if you had to pick, like, you know, you look at someone like Victor Hovland, who is primed for a win. He's, you know, playing well, or like a sleeper pick like Matt Wolf, who had like a great, you know, runner-up finish last week, who might be able to take advantage of some of the momentum from last week heading into the Workday Charity.
Well, let me ask you this, because Decky is my pick to win. Here's my long shot. Ryan Armour.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Where's that coming from?
100 to 1. 100 to 1.
Interesting.
You want to know a better long shot? Is going to be Maverick McNealy.
I love him too. I've got him in the top 30.
Super hot putter right now. He's making everything.
Interesting.
And John, this is on bent grass. We explain, you know, the difficulty in regard to bent grass, like what.
Maybe for the three of us, there might be difficulty, but there's none for these guys.
But
they switch grasses all the time. You've got a little bit of grain, you know, like the way the grass will grow on bent grass. Okay, so like think of like how if you ever vacuum a carpet, it kind of all goes in one direction. If you go one way, it's a different color. So you can see that on the greens, and it'll affect how your ball rolls a little slower, a little faster, but. Especially the fact that they're playing 2 weeks in a row here. It's going to be like they're playing their own home course after a while.
They're not playing on Monday, right? The course, from my understanding, they're going to give it some break for the grounds crew to get in there and, you know, spruce it up between the tournaments.
Yeah, they don't want to overstress the golf course, especially with the temperatures being so high.
Yeah.
You know that they're going to close down Muirfield right after the Memorial.
Oh, yeah,
they're
great.
Blowing up the place and, like, redoing every green, and they're moving bunkers and doing all sorts of stuff there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So before we move on, just to give you – throw out some other names out there that I think will do well this week. Cameron Champ and Hovland, I have them finishing in the top five. Wolf finishing in the top 10. Max Homa as well. I have him up there. Norlander, I like him as well. Here's and you mentioned McNealy. Here's another really big long shot. Brace yourself, because I know, John, I know you're about to make a face or make a statement.
I'm going to fall off my chair right now. I can't wait for this one.
Top 40, 8-1, Jerry Kelly.
8-1,
Jerry Kelly, top 40. Bank it.
Really, really digging deep there, Anita.
I am. I am digging deep. Every metric that I researched.
Top 40.
Here's the thing. That's where you win your money. It's so hard.
What are you going to put on him? How much are you going to put on him? $100?
$100, $50? That's a new pair of shoes for me, John.
What is wrong with you?
What do you mean?
Kelly, $50 to come to the top 40? Whatever. Make me look stupid, please.
That's where you win your money. That's where you win your money, in the top 20, top 30, top 40. That's where you win your money. It's so hard to pick a winner each and every week. You don't know if this guy's got COVID the night before.
Wait, we have to factor in the COVID factor on top of all of this.
Hey, Justin Rose has a runny nose.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. All right, a few things really quick before we end the podcast. No fans at Memorial next week. Do you think that will – time out. Let's rewind. Is Tiger Woods going to play Memorial? He hasn't made a decision yet, but what's your gut telling you?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Even with no fans.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. He's won. How many times has he won at Memorial? He's playing.
He's won like 8 or 9 times. Remember,
he's showing up.
The PGA is coming up in August.
Yes.
And again, Memorial did say no fans, and understandably so. We record this podcast on Tuesday night, and today over 55,000 new reported COVID cases today alone in the country. Ridiculous. Just ridiculous. Some other news this week, Ryder Cup postponed. It was scheduled for September 25th through the 27th in Wisconsin, but it has been postponed. Guys, your thoughts? I think it's the right decision right now in regard to where we are right now across the, maybe not here in New Jersey and New York, but across the country, I think it was the right decision.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you, Anita. I mean, as a PGA professional, this is our event. So the PGA of America runs the Ryder Cup. Certainly not an easy call. Think about foregoing all of that significant television money and the rights this year. We've already agreed to have the PGA Championship with no fans, so you can imagine the financial hit for that. And then having this with no fans and no and the TV rights, that's a big hit to our bottom line. And you got to remember that you're going to move this a year, which means you have to move the next Ryder Cup a year, which is in Rome, which is slated for 2022. It's now 2023. And think about how much the European Tour benefits from a home Ryder Cup. That's a real big event on their budget line.
Yeah, so, and they've been having a lot of financial problems too. So
you talk about the contracts with hotels, with the vendors, with the apparel companies, so many other entities that go into putting on a big event like this. So you know that the PGA of America and the PGA Tour also had to now push the President's Cup back to go on the off year. So, you know, they've had a financial hit with the tour being off for 13 weeks and moving majors around and moving tournaments around to accommodate all the changes. I'm sure there was a lot of – I mean, listen, they've been talking about this for a while, but I think this is 100% the right call. The players really wanted the fans.
Yeah.
You know, and what's the event without the players being behind it? So,
yeah, I think that's a gutsy call by
both entities, but I think to your point, it needed the right one in the long
run. Yeah, I know they got the players involved in that, and they were asking them, they were asking their opinions on whether they would play or if they wanted the fans. And I think, you know, they haven't really discussed specifically what the players said, but based on the decision that they're going to announce, it looks like the players were all in for having fans there. And they know that energy you get at a Ryder Cup when the fans are there. I mean, it is a game for fans and to, you know, get everyone behind it. So I'm not surprised that they pushed off. So I guess we're going to start playing Ryder Cups now in odd years, you know, because normally it's played in even years. So I guess they're not going to do back-to-back, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, guys, before we sign off, Christina, again, from Golf for Her, that's where you want to shop for all your fantastic golf clothes. Give us an LPGA update. What's the latest?
So, as you guys know, the LPGA is kicking off the season at the end of the month, also in Ohio. So if you're in Ohio, you are getting a lot of really good golf. But the ladies and the RNA actually confirmed that the AIG Women's British Open will be played at Royal Troon August 20th to the 23rd. It will also, the Scottish Open will actually be played the week prior to that at the Renaissance Club in Scotland. So women's golf is returning to Scotland, first time since last September when we were there for the Solheim Cup. But when they do play the British Open, as well as the Scottish Open, there will be no spectators. They will be adhering to all the international COVID protocols, which includes some athlete, you know, quarantine exemptions. But, you know, this is great for the women to be able to get out there and play. You know, the PGA is back, so it's important that the ladies are back there also on the course. So, you know, with the limited sports on television, I think this is going to be a great opportunity for those that may not have really watched women's golf in the past to have an opportunity to really see the talent and the depth of talent that's on the LPGA Tour. So excited about that, excited that they are going to have these events played in August. So excited to see how everything unfolds over the next few weeks.
Fantastic. John, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I just want to kind of give a shout out to a former student of mine, Luke Grabois, who made it through pre-qualifying for the workday, got to Dublin, Ohio on Monday for the qualifier, and fired 2 under, didn't get in, still a good round of golf, 2 under there. nine under got into the tournament.
Oh, wow.
You want to talk about how hard it is to get into a Monday PGA Tour. Nine under got in. So kudos to him, you know, schlepping all the way up from Florida and playing, still shooting under par. So good on him, and you'll see his name a little bit more as we go throughout the season.
Fantastic. All right, guys, thank you so much. Another edition of On the Tee. Anita Marks, John Mascari, and Christina Thompson from Golf for Her. Coming up next, I was in for Chris Carlin all this week and last week, actually, on 98.7 ESPN. And earlier tonight, I had Matt Barry on with me. Matt Barry, you know him on SportsCenter. He's also an avid golfer and has a podcast with the caddy, Michael Collins. He joined me to break down the Workday Charity Open, and here he is.
Matt, thank you so much for spending some time with us this evening. I really do appreciate it. How are you?
Anita, my pleasure. I'm doing well. You know, we're finally in the midst of a little golf weather here in the Northeast, so playing a lot of golf, enjoying the golf, being back, and hopefully we keep trending in the right direction with every sport.
Yeah, tell me about it. You know, anytime you want to take a ride up here, you know, I could get us on a few good courses, you know.
I'm in. Yes. Look, we've got plenty of time on our hands to play before we start getting busy again.
What's your handicap?
I am now in the high 14s.
Okay. That's so funny. I was just, and not to name drop, but I'm good friends with Kevin Burkett, and he literally was just texting me right now, and he's playing a lot of golf, and I asked him, what's your handicap? And he said, so the three of us are all 14s. So,
you know what
right.
It is, too, with that handicap is I play a lot of golf with a lot of players from a 7 to a, you know, let's call it 7 to a 17. And anybody right in that middle spot you find is putting. And
it goes
that way with players like us and the pros. The goal of golf, right, is to get the ball in the hole. And if you're three putting or missing putt, the difference between a par saving putt to a bogey or a bogey saving putt to a double bogey, if you add up those strokes over the course of a round, that's the difference between, let's call it, an 88 and an 85 and an 84. You could wake up tomorrow and be an 11.
For sure. For sure. I can't, like, you know, just from playing organized and professional sports my whole life, my brain, like, I can go back and I could remember, like, when I played women's football, I can go back and I can remember every play, every pass, who was open, why didn't I look them off, that was a bad mistake. I find myself doing the same thing now in golf when I'm done with a round.
Right.
I'll look back and I'll be like, oh, man, that shot on 16 and that putt on 8, and I can go back and I can remember every stroke and every shot. And when I go back, Matt, it's like at least anywhere between 4 or 5 putts that could have been the difference of me breaking 80.
That's the beauty and the addiction of the sport. Like I tell anyone, I do Maddie and the Caddy, the podcast, at ESPN, the golf podcast, to do our coverage at the Masters, and it'll be a part of the PGA Championship. That if you talk to anyone who plays the game, as I tell it, you know, you drive the ball all day, you could be up in and around the green, but I would encourage anyone who loves the sport and loves the game like we do, next time you go out, and I'm being serious, take your scorecard out, and every time you're on a hole where there's a wasted shot, I want you to notate that somewhere on your scorecard, just a quick, like, asterisk of what the wasted shot was. Count those up at the end of the round, and you'd be surprised at the reality of what your skill level could be relative to what you're doing. You just clean up those mistakes, and it'll be great.
Again, Matt Barry joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Because let's face it, the PGA Tour, the only thing that's active and attractive, like I said before, unless you're up at like 1:30 in the morning watching Korean baseball or you're gambling on ping pong like Doug Kazarian does. Don't tell him I told you. but here's the thing, Matt. DeChambeau. Dude went out, ton of protein shakes. Really didn't watch what he ate specifically, just kind of like wanted to bulk up. Let's be honest, he's got the dad bod. He still has a little bit of gut. But here's the thing. To me, it's not so much the weight that he put on. Matt, it's his club head speed. It's ridiculous. It makes me nervous. It's so fast. I can't wrap my head around it, man.
See, what people don't know about him, and maybe they do, is that Bryson is one of those players who he's a lab rat and a scientist that understands the dynamics of the swing and the angles and the math and everything wrapped around it. And he went in during quarantine, took the 13 weeks off or however many weeks he had off, and he basically came to the conclusion via math and studying, et cetera, that if he put himself in a position to hit more 9-irons and wedges, he would have a better opportunity to compete and win in more tournaments. That's it. Everyone's like, why did he do this? Don't read into it. He did it because he did a mathematical study on the fact that he knew that he could win with wedges and putting. And so you look at some of his driving statistics coming out of Rocket Mortgage, and they're absolutely absurd. He hit a 9-iron, I think, the other day from 180 yards out. He just found a way to put on the weight, use the strength to mathematically give himself a better chance to win. Now, I said it today on the podcast, and I'll say it again here. Whether that's sustainable beyond 2 years, I don't know. Every time you see some of these players bulk up, Tiger, Rory, Jason Day, some of these guys that come to mind, it's physically not the greatest thing on your body. But if he can find a way to stay healthy, he believes that he has put, and at least has proven at this point, he's put together a game plan based on science that looks to be dangerous for the rest of the PGA if he keeps this up.
Favored now going into the Masters, 10-1. Tiger is 16-1.
Yeah, but see, that's just for talking purposes. At the end of the day, and Bryson, I believe, he had either the 18-hole lead or the 36-hole lead. I believe it was last year. It's all running together now because of how many things have been put on hold. But here's the deal with Augusta National. You know the Masters. I've been there and done it several times. You could be a bomber off. That's all well and good. Augusta National, the Masters, comes down to putting. That's it. The conversation stops and starts with putting. If Bryson can putt, he'll contend. If he can't putt, he won't, regardless of how far he is off the tee.
Again, Matt Barry joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. All right, so very interesting situation that's happening on tour. And I'm curious, you might have the answer here. I don't. Was there ever a time that the tour stayed in one stop for two straight weeks? Because we got the Workday Charity Open happening this week in Ohio, and the same course is going to host the Memorial the following week.
Yeah, I believe it happened back in 1989. The course is escaping my memory, but I know that I was just doing some reading on it a little while ago, that it did happen back in 1989 where there was consecutive weeks of a tournament playing at the same course. It is definitely going to be interesting because you're going to have it set up a little bit differently between the Workday and the Memorial. I know the Memorial made the big announcement of no fans next week like they were supposed mm-hmm. to. But, you know, it's a good thing for these players to be able to – I mean, you've seen this now for a couple of weeks, 3 weeks now, where they're hopping all over the place, and now they get to stay in a place for 2 weeks. It was Harbortown, 89, was in the last time it happened in South Carolina. But you get an opportunity to, like – it's been a lot. These guys are getting tested every week. They're traveling. They're getting tested every day. I like the fact, play at Jack's course for a couple of weeks. Let these guys settle down a little bit because now you're getting into the middle part of July and we're creeping up on the first major championship at the PGA Championship out in the Bay Area. So it's going to be good at least for a couple of weeks for kind of everybody to take a breath, compete in a major-like situation with the Memorial in 2 weeks, of which we'll see if you know who is going to announce whether or not he's playing in that event.
Tiger.
Right.
All right, so this week, Workday Charity Open. I contribute to the chalk picks that will be on ESPN.com tomorrow. And here are my picks. I love Decky coming in. I like what I saw with his approach shots. If his putter makes an appearance this week, I'm pretty excited. Here's my sleeper, though. Here's the guy.
Okay.
100-1, Matt. Ryan Armour. Dude's on fire right now. I'm playing him to win. I'm playing him top 5, top 10, top 20, top 40. And every single day I'm playing him in match play. I think Ryan Armour has just been great.
He's been creeping up. You see his name on that first page of the leaderboard quite a bit. So I like the Ryan Armour pick. When we did our Matty Nicaddy picks today, a sleeper that I like, good value, 3 top 10s, made 11 or 14 cuts this year, Max Homa.
Ooh.
He's a guy to watch.
Okay.
I think Justin Thomas. I like the Justins this week. I like Justin Thomas. I like Justin Rose. I like both of those players going in. Some good value over the guy like Matthew Fitzpatrick, who's out there. I believe Bones is going to be on his bag. And you know Bones knows the Memorial a lot, having caddied for Phil Mickelson forever. And don't forget local Columbus guy Jason Day. If anyone needs the comfort of some good home cooking, it's Jason Day, former world number one, major championship caliber game. Keep an eye out for Day.
Here's another one for you before I let you go. Jerry Kelly, 8-1 to finish in the. Follow me here. Jerry Kelly, 8-1 to finish in the top 40. The metrics you need here: accuracy, top of the board in regard to par 3 scoring, putting, scrambling, good out of the sand. I spent a good few hours today looking at all the metrics. And his name kept on popping up in every metric. So I went,
Madison,
I'm like,
Wisconsin's Jerry Kelly.
8-1 to finish in the top 40? Matt, why not?
Hey, look, I mean, is he comped on DraftKings? Is he a giveaway? Like, hey, if you.
I think he's like $6,000.
I'm just trying to figure out what the price tag on Jerry Kelly is. That's an amazing find. You could have given me a month. And I probably wouldn't have even ID'd him as an option.
Anyway, all right. Matt, again, we so appreciate your time tonight. Thank you
anytime.
So much. Please provide the information in regard to the podcast with you and Michael.
Yeah, it just we dropped it today. We try to record on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. It's Matty and Caddy, MATTY and CADDIE. Get it wherever you get your golf pod or your podcast, ESPN, Apple, iTunes, whatever the case might be. We call it Weekly T-Box Dysfunction. We talk golf, but then somehow today we ended up getting on a tangent about Dr. Pimple Popper. So it's that kind of podcast with golf mixed in.
It's like it's a train wreck, right? Like it's so
That's
disgusting.
Exactly right.
But
and we're proud.
You can't stop watching it.
That's right.
Really quick, who did Michael pick to win this week?
Who did Michael take this week?
Do you remember?
I don't remember because his picks were so bad last week. Oh, wait, I have it right here. Who did he – no, I don't have the updated picks.
Okay.
None of his picks.
Here's the thing. Go listen to the podcast and find out.
That's a tease. That's why I love it.
There you go. Matt, have a great night. Thank you.
All right, let's play golf soon. Take care.
Please, please. Yes, yes. Don't tease me with a good time. Anita Markson for Chris Carlin tonight. Hopefully we'll help you win some. Jerry Kelly. Boy, that's some deep, deep analysis. From this chick right here. 8-1, Jerry Kelly to finish in the top 40.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.